Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning is that great episode of Nicodemus coming to see Jesus in the dark of the night. So listen to the story as it's recorded in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have not seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things that you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from the heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Joanne A. Posse, writing for the Christian Century, loosely suggests that this conversation that Nicodemus has with Jesus is a non sequitur. A non sequitur, according to Webster's dictionary, of course, is a statement, such as a response, that does not follow logically from or is not clearly related to anything previously said. This might be a non sequitur. Where there's a will, I want to be in it. Or, standing in a garage doesn't make you any more a car than sitting in church makes you a Christian. Now, those might be more formally called paraprosdokians, but this, from Bertrand Russell, is definitely a non sequitur. War does not determine who is right, only who is left. And this, from Groucho Marx, "I've had a perfectly wonderful evening, but this wasn't it." A non sequitur. One part of the sentence or conversation only strangely or unexpectedly or disconnectedly connects to the other part of the sentence or the statement. So Jesus, his answers to Nicodemus present a disconnect for Nicodemus. Nicodemus asks one thing, and Jesus' answer doesn't seem really to be the answer of Nicodemus' question, but maybe the answer to another question. Nicodemus and we often are stumbled or stumped by Jesus' answers here to Nicodemus. These circuitous answers to what Nicodemus may be thinking are straightforward questions. We know you are a teacher, says Nicodemus, but that's met with one needs to be born from above. And can a person crawl back into his mother's womb, says Nicodemus? That's met with the wind blows where it will. Flummoxed, Nicodemus sighs, how can these things be? We live in a non sequitur world. We buried a local police officer who died in the line of duty last week, nearly 1 year after a Minneapolis police officer murdered an unarmed black man named George Floyd. We grieve and we pray for the safety of our police. We do. We grieve for them and their loss. It's our loss too. It's our loss too. And we pray for their safety. We do that even as we think about what policing means in our community, as we think of reform, not only reform of our police, but reform of our church, reform of our schools, reform of our politics, reform of our hearts. That which is to say we're on a journey. We're not there yet, right? There's always room for improvement. We're always tweaking, always reforming. So we pray for and we care for our police even as we think of police reform. Some people see that as a great big disconnect. I certainly don't. We feel unsafe as citizens by the random shootings here in Champaign, Urbana, and we dial 911 so easily. We call the police to protect us, and yet we consistently send them into untenable situations, and we want everything to turn out just fine. You see, we are struggling with this idea of caring for one another, of law and order and of grace. We expect our police to be counselors and friends and directors of traffic and nurses and so much more. Do you feel that tension? I don't mean to add to it. I just mean to kind of report what I'm seeing, what I think is happening in this community and around our country. Do you feel that tension? Do you feel some of those disconnects? You know, we are right to be thinking about strengthening the fabric of our families. Thinking about our schools, thinking about poverty and systemic social ills. We're right to be asking questions about such things. Oh, not anxiously, but just curious about, and how can we contribute to be part of the answer? We're right to talk about racism and education and mutuality and trust and brotherhood and sisterhood and neighborhoods and so much more. These are good conversations to be having. They may make us a little anxious, especially when they're fired by the heat of such disparity and such violence. We want to have the answer right now. How can these things be, we say, after praying through the news another night and another morning, reading the headlines, watching the news. How can all of these things be? How can we bring it together in a way that's beautifully, that honors our neighbors and God? How can we do that when things seem so far apart? Jesus, or Nicodemus rather, he's learning that to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, to be curious about Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, believing in Jesus, it doesn't give us absolute clarity in all things. Nicodemus, he leaves scratching his head. How can these things be? Being born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, but born of flesh. How can these things be? You know, it seems to me, and it may be different for you, but I want all of the scenes in my life to connect nicely and neatly, serenely, from one scene to the next, dot to dot. But life is often herky-jerky. It's up and down. It's a succession of near misses and head-on collisions. How can these things be? life is such a puzzle sometimes, and the pieces just don't, these pieces seem to be pieces from another puzzle, not from the one I'm working on. This disconnect, this idea that so many things are like non sequiturs. My three sons and his and their friends are making sense mightily. They're struggling with the death of a friend they knew and loved in high school. Jeremy Chin died of prostate cancer in California. He was 25 years old. This isn't supposed to happen to their friends. It's not supposed to happen to a man so young, so vital, so smart, with so much of his future in front of him. But it did. Death came. These friends made a video they shared with Jeremy several days before Jeremy died. And Jeremy, I'm told, loved the video. A dozen or so of these friends from high school, an art teacher, and other friends put together their comments. Hey, Jeremy, you know, sorry you're sick. We're there for you, man. We had such great memories with you. They share these memories. And all of these words, it seems to me, all of these words and all of the stories, like of singing Twist and Shout on the band bus, all of it boils down to two words. You want to guess what those words are? Thanks and love. Jeremy, thank you. Thank you for being my friend. Jeremy, we love you. I love you. Thank you. I love you. Thanks and love. It seems to me that's what we're left with in this story. Nicodemus leaves saying, how can these things be? But the final and the clearest word that rings truest for us is the word love. And in the biggest non sequitur of all, John tells us that God loved the world so much that he sent his son. He sent his son to die. This is at the center of our faith. Luther calls it the whole gospel in miniature. It's a mystery at the center of our faith. What a non sequitur, huh? That God would say, I'm going to become incarnate and I'm going to send myself, my son. And I know, in my providence, I know that the people will reject this. And I know that Jesus will die. But God became incarnate anyway. Wow. That's either the greatest disconnect in the world or the most profound connection in the whole world. We live in a non sequitur world. Things don't always line up. We hold lots of things in tension, lots of perspectives, differing views, not right and wrong, but just different. We hold these things in tension. They seem to conflict with one another. We want life's loose ends. We want them to come together and we want to tie it together in a shiny bow. That's what we want out of our lives. That's what we want for our kids and our grandkids. We want their lives to come together in a beautiful bow. And when we look at a whole life, sometimes we see how God has moved through that life and how it's all beauty and grace. But when we take a look at a sliver of that life, anywhere on that time frame, sometimes we come to a place where everything seems to be in disarray, when nothing seems to make sense, when there's no connection at all. On our refrigerator is a copy of The Immigrant's Creed. And in it, it sort of captures the way God has entered into this world of non sequiturs, this world where things don't connect as we think they ought to connect or should connect. And so we read that God is an exile and leads us in exile and through Exodus. Okay. Joseph was enslaved in Egypt, taken from his brothers in Cana. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den in Babylon. Jesus was a displaced Galilean. He fled his home country in danger of his life. And then when he returned to his own country, he lived under the thumb, under the tyranny of Pontius Pilate, who was loyal to a foreign occupying government. Jesus, an innocent man, was executed by the state and was jeered by the citizens he came to love and redeem. people of faith in following the story of God's mighty acts through Scripture. People of faith have to keep up with a lot of twists and turns, a lot of seeming disconnects, non sequiturs. The writer Frederick Buechner agrees. He writes this: if the world is sane, then Jesus is mad as a hatter and the Last Supper is the mad tea party. The world says, mind your own business. And Jesus says, there is no such thing as your own business. The world says, follow the wisest course and be a success. And Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, drive carefully. The life you save might be your own. And Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake, or whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The world says, law and order. Jesus says, love. The world says, get, and Jesus says, give. In terms of the world's sanity, Jesus is crazy as a coot, and anybody who thinks he can follow Jesus without being a little crazy too is laboring less under a cross than under a delusion. Those words are Frederick Buechner from The Faces of Jesus, also on Frederick Buechner's website. Well, lots of disconnects, lots of confusion. Nicodemus asks simple questions and Jesus spins it out and really talks bigger. But here's the main thing, I think. The God who transcends all of life's non sequiturs loves us. And that is an amazing and settling love, or depending on your perspective, it's an unsettling love. God's love is healing, abiding, it's tough, it's gracious, it's demanding, it's radical, unbendable, it's love. It's holy, agape love. And because of this love, Jesus, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, walks with us. And Jesus walks with us as one well acquainted to all the topsy-turvy ups and downs of life. Jesus the Christ is certainly acquainted with that disconnect in life. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Nicodemus still leaves this meeting with Jesus intrigued, but confused, I think. How can these things be? Jesus spoke of a bigger picture that Nicodemus's mind couldn't get his head around. Nicodemus was ready for small bites, maybe, and Jesus shares a much bigger picture. Nicodemus couldn't grasp it. But the good news, because of God's love, God grasps Nicodemus in this grasp of grace, in this profound love. And like Nicodemus, God grasps us. God holds on to us, and God won't let go. Jesus makes it clear. The big word is love. God loves us. God wants us to love God. God wants us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus constantly reminds us that though we may not deserve it at all, God loves us. No matter what we've done and no matter what we do, God's always going to love us, always. And God uses this love to heal the world. Right now, the sliver of life we see here in Champaign-Urbana is wrought. We have more violence than we usually have. And we have all sorts of other examples of disconnects. But God uses God's love to heal the world. And God's love is sufficient. It is sufficient. Like us, I think Nicodemus is left with only one word. God's word is love, that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God loves us. God's word is love. Our word is thanks. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? God's word to, with, and for us is love. And our word is thanks. For this wondrous love, thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.